God is good all the time. Very good. Okay, so Sunday mornings we've been talking about, well, we've been going through Genesis lately, right? What did we talk about last week? Anybody remember? Jacob and Esau?
Yeah.
Jacob and Esau. And the birthright. Talked about the birthright and how Christ included us in his birthright. Well, today we're going to be continuing with that story, and we're going to be talking about something that I'm guessing every single person here has experienced at one point in time or another, and that is fear and anger. Fear and anger. So we're going to start in Genesis chapter 27, verses 41 through 46, actually picking up right where we left off last week. Jacob had deceived Esau out of the blessing, out of his father's blessing. And so Esau said, "Is there another blessing that you can give me?" And, of course, we know Isaac's blessing was that Esau would serve his brother. Okay, so picking up in verse 41, it says, "So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, 'The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob.' And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. And so she sent and called Jacob, her younger son. And she said to him, 'Surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you have done to him. And then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day?' And Rebekah said to Isaac, 'I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me?'" So we see that Esau is very angry, and we'll see here that Jacob is in fear because Jacob is sent away. Rebecca goes into Isaac and she's saying, "Hey, we got to get Jacob out of here," right? But she's not going to tell that to Isaac, right? So she's got to think up a little excuse for Jacob to take a little trip. So she goes into Isaac and says, "Hey, he needs a wife." So picking up in chapter 28, it says, "Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, 'You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. And may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham.' So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram, to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, and the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take himself a wife from there. And that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, 'You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan.' And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Padan Aram. Also Esau saw the daughters of Canaan, saw that the daughters of Canaan did not please his father Isaac. And so Esau went to Ishmael and took Mahalaleth, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajeth, to be his wife, in addition to the wives he had." So we see that Esau acts out in anger, right? He says, I am so angry with my father right now. Let's see, what can I do that would really get under his skin? Oh, I bet. Right? Because remember Isaac and Ishmael? You know, that's not too old, right? And so Esau says, oh, I know what would get under my dad's skin. I know what I can do. I'm going to go over there and marry one of those people he don't like at all. Right? Because Isaac was the child of the blessing and Ishmael was the older son who was rejected. So he went and married one of Ishmael's daughters. And to spite his father. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember that feeling? Do you remember that feeling of anger or fear? That overwhelming, all-consuming emotion. It's something that each one of us in our natural state experiences. The father comes home. He's had a bad day at work. He's frustrated. He made a mistake. He's afraid of losing his job. So he's angry. And he acts out towards his wife in an angry way. And she is fearful because of his actions, his emotional state. And so the kids come in, innocently enough, and she acts out in anger against those children because they are disrupting. And she's afraid of what her husband's going to do. And then the kids see the anger and they become afraid. And they start acting out in anger towards one another. You might say, well, I've never been really angry. But I have been fearful. Or you might say, I've never been fearful, but I have been angry. They are both the same thing. They are the same thing. The same root, those two emotions, anger and fear, it's the same thing. James 1, 19 and 20 says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. As a passenger boarded the Los Angeles to New York plane, he told the flight attendant to wake him to make sure that he got off in Dallas. The passenger awoke just as the plane was landing in New York. Furious, he called the flight attendant and demanded an explanation. The fellow mumbled an apology, and in a rage, the passenger stopped off the plane. Boy, was he ever mad, another crew member observed to his errant colleague. If you think he was mad, replied the flight attendant, you should have seen the guy I put off in Dallas. Anger. I'm sure we can all relate to it. And fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 5-year-old Johnny was in the kitchen. His mother was making supper, and she asked him to go into the pantry and get a can of tomato soup. But he didn't want to go alone. It's dark in there, and I'm scared. She asked again, and he persisted. And finally, she said, it's okay. Jesus will be in there with you. Johnny walked hesitantly to the door and slowly opened it. He peeked inside and he saw that it was very dark. He started to leave and then all of a sudden he got an idea. So he said, Jesus, if you're in there, can you hand me that can of tomato soup? Anger and fear. Well, Jacob left that situation. He was sent away to go find a wife. The Bible says that Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place, and he stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones at the place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. And then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached into heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and he said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed, all of the families of the earth will be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Jacob is going through his life. Jacob was not what we would call necessarily an honorable person. But yet he had an encounter with God. Here, while he was running away from his problems, Jacob encountered God. And God promised him something. Was Jacob deserving of this promise? Was Jacob deserving of this blessing? No. But God does not give to us what we deserve. He is gracious. And so Jacob encountered God, and God promised him that he would be with him, that he would take care of him, that he would have many descendants, and that he would inherit the land that was promised to his father Abraham. And I want to ask you, have you had an encounter with God? As you are going through life's trials and challenges, obstacles, have you encountered the God of heaven? Because He has a desire to encounter you. Matthew 11:28-30 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God wants to have an encounter with you. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. God wants to have an encounter with you. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants you to inherit eternal life. He wants to give you a blessing. Jesus said when he left this earth, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And he said that to all who would come. To all who would come. And we have the promise that when we do come, when we do receive Him, when we do open that door and receive Him in, that we have His Spirit that comes inside of us And we become the temple of the living God. And he gives us his spirit. Romans 8, 15 through 17 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." God wants to have an encounter with you so that you no longer have to live in fear. So that you no longer have to live with anger. Because when you live in fear or anger, you are cut off from God. We did not receive the spirit of fear from God. And we did not receive the spirit of anger from God. And when we are living in that spirit, or according to it, we are not living according to God's spirit. And our sin separates us from God. And so as long as we are holding on to that spirit of anger and fear, we are cut off from the Father. We are cut off from the blessing. Now, what do we do oftentimes? You might say, "Well, yeah, but I'm a Christian." I had a discussion with this guy this week about anger. And so he went to Ephesians chapter 4 and he says, "Yeah, but the Bible says to be angry and do not sin." Be angry and do not sin. So that means we can be angry and not sin. That means it's good to be angry about things. God wants us to be angry about things. And he didn't read the rest of that passage, which I filled him in on, which says, right after that, put away anger and wrath and all of those things. Ephesians chapter 4, look it up. Jesus said in John chapter 5, a very peculiar passage. It's very peculiar. He says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." So oftentimes, as we're going through our Christian life, we want to hold on to that old self. And so we go to the Bible. We say, "Oh, okay, I'm afraid. What are some passages that deal with fear?" "Oh, yeah, okay, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." "Oh, that makes me feel good. And now I can go on my way." Right? Or we say, "Oh, I'm really angry." Right? What's a passage? "Oh, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forget." "Okay, now I'm good to go." And we treat this like it's just a self-help book. This is eternal life right here, right? This is the answer to all my problems. I can just go to the Bible and get a verse and I'm good to go. That's not what the Bible was intended to do. That's not what the Bible is about. Jesus said in John chapter 5, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." But these are they which testify of me, and you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And we come and say, Jesus, I want eternal life, but I'm not looking for the rest. You keep all that other stuff, and I'm just going to read the Bible and get what I need out of it from time to time so that I can go about doing my own thing and I can hold on to my anger. I can hold on to my fear because I don't want to let it go. First John chapter 4 says that God is love. And that anyone who hates his brother is not of God. When we receive Christ, we cannot receive Christ and hold on to the old way of doing things. When we receive Christ, we become something brand new. Colossians chapter 3 talks about putting off the old man and its lust and putting on the new man. And we'll talk more about that next week. But when we have an encounter with God, we must remember those things. We must remember the encounters that we have with God. Because at its core, fear and anger is distrust in God. Fear and anger is distrust in God. If I am angry at something, even for a good cause, right? If I see somebody that's gotten hurt, and let's say they went to the police, and the police didn't do anything about it, and so I'm angry. You might say, well, that's a good kind of anger. No, it's not. If you hold on to that anger, it will destroy you. We must give that anger to God. We must come to God and give Him our anxieties, casting all of our cares on Him because He cares for us. Now, what happens when you're driving down the road and maybe you're in a tractor, right? Or maybe you're speeding down the interstate, running late for your next meeting, and somebody pulls out in front of you, right? Couldn't you see me? I'm a big, you know, semi-truck or whatever. Couldn't you see me, right? And we react in anger. What should we do? We have to immediately let go of that. That is not an emotion from God. That is a natural, fleshly emotion, and we must let it go. Because when we hold on to it, it cuts us off from the Father. Because we are saying, no longer do I trust you, God. No longer am I living for you, God. No longer am I living according to your spirit. I have a spirit of my own, and I want to hold on to that emotion. Because fear and anger are actually both very powerful emotions. And some people like the drug of fear and anger. Now, when we have an encounter with God, and God deals with that, we must remember that. Genesis 28, 10 through 15 says, "Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and so he came to a certain place, and he stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took up one of the stones of that place," and, oh yeah, I already read this, my bad. When we have an encounter with God, yes, we must remember that. So after Jacob had that night, he had the dream of the angels ascending, descending. He woke up in the morning. Verse 16, it says, "Then Jacob awoke from his sleep, and he said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.' And he was afraid, and he said, 'How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.' And Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone out that he had put at his head, and he set it up as a pillar, and he poured oil on top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city had been Luz previously. And then Jacob made a vow, saying, 'If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set up as a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you.'" Notice the law was not in effect here, right? Well, Jacob didn't have the Old Testament law requiring him to give 10% to God. This was something he did voluntarily. He said, "Hey, if you're going to be my God, and you're going to be with me, and you're going to go with me, and you're going to prosper me, and you're going to give me this land, then I want to give you a tenth of all that I have." And so Jacob set up a monument that recognized his encounter with God. You might remember an encounter that you've had with God. A time of, maybe it was your salvation. Maybe it was a time where you felt God calling you to renew your commitment to Him. Maybe it was a time of worship that just deeply impenetrated your heart. It's important that we remember those times. It's important that we remember our encounters with God. There was a man who told me that he went to a training conference where a course was being taught on how to improve your memory. Anybody need to go to that training conference? I need to go to that training conference. He spent $200 on the books and tapes and worksheets for the course, and he brought it home. And when he arrived at home, he stored the course and then went about his daily business. And he confessed to me that he never actually started the course because he forgot where he had stored it. And we are all too often the exact same way. We go through our life and we struggle with fear and anger because we're not trusting God. And then God comes to us and He says, "I want to be your God. I will be with you. Don't worry. You don't have to be afraid. Don't be angry. Give your anxieties to me. I will take care of you." And you say, "Yes, I know God will take care of me." And then we go down the road a few weeks, a few months, a few years, and we start to struggle with fear and anxiety because we've forgotten our encounter with God. Psalm 103:2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits." Psalm 107 says, "Whoever is wise will observe these things," which he had just got done listing a whole bunch of things that God had done. "Whoever is wise will observe these things." That's the things that God's doing in your life. and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 5 says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go on and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you and to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And so he humbled you and allowed you to be hungry. And he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. And so God says, remember. Remember the encounters. Write them down. Build memorials. Put things in place. Right? Put the words of God on the doorstep. Put them on the mantle. Put them everywhere. Put them right in front of your eyes so that you can remember. Because God is going to test you to see what is in your heart. And you must remember the encounter that you had with God so that you can remember that you can trust God and you don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to get angry anymore. You can let go and let God. Journal. This thought came to me the other day. Answered prayers, forgotten questions. Answered prayers, forgotten questions. How many times do we pray about something? We say, God, please do this. God, please do that. And then he does it. We're already off on the next one. God, please do this. God, please do that. And he answers it, and we're off on the next one. God, please do that. And we say, why doesn't God ever answer any of my prayers? Answered prayers, forgotten. We forgot that we even asked him. And we fail to be grateful. And we wonder, God, are you even around here anymore? Because we're not remembering. We're not remembering our encounters with God. So I would encourage you to get a journal and write down the times when you pray. Write down the times when God answers your prayers. Write down the encounters that you have with God. So when you have times of doubt, you can go back to that and remember in your life your encounters with God. Put up pictures. Put up pictures of events, baptisms. Put up pictures of times in your life. Maybe it's just a picture that represents that time. Maybe you don't actually have a picture of when you became a Christian. But maybe it's a picture that reminds you of that. Put up things in your house that continually reminds you of the times and events of when God interacted with you. And so that you can be encouraged. Annabelle, my daughter, we did some rearranging in the house. And she has a desk. And right in the middle of her desk is her baptism certificate. What a wonderful reminder for her of the choice that she made to be baptized. What a wonderful reminder that she is a child of God and that she's living her life for him. Right? And when she gets sent to her room, It's the first thing she sees. Set up pictures. Display verses on the wall. Put up memorials in your house, in your car, wherever, at work. And engage. Engage the Lord. Because He wants you to come to Him. He is not far off. He is close by each and every one of us. But when we walk around holding on, unwilling to let go of pain, anger, fear, we are cut off from the blessing of God. So we must let go of those things and embrace His forgiveness of our sin, and then we must forgive others of theirs. We must let go. We cannot live with fear and anger. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we could have probably spent another hour looking at the passages in Your Word that reminds us of the dangers of the wickedness and destruction of human anger and fear. Lord, help us to recognize the evil of those things. Help us to recognize that they are not from You. And help us to let go of them. To refuse to allow those emotions to have power over our life. Because it's really just the devil wanting his seat back at the table. And help us to instead embrace love. Help us to have a different perspective as we go throughout our day. And not see things according to the way the world sees them, but see things the way that You see them. Lord, that when somebody sins against us, that our heart would break for them. And that we would return evil with good. We would not be overcome by evil, but we would overcome evil with good. That is the calling that we have as children of the Most High. Children of our Father in heaven. Lord, help us, Your children, to not be weighed down by the cares of this world, because You have such greater things in store for us. We have eternity. We have a home in heaven. And we are not called to live this world for safety, for health, but for a cause. We have something great to accomplish here. And we can't do it walking around in anger and fear, being controlled by our emotions. We must put off those things and embrace the love that You have. So that with a sound mind and with ourselves under discipline and control, we can go about the work that You have called us to do, which is to be fishers of men and to grow Your kingdom in this world. It's an awesome task that You have allowed us to be a part of. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.